afternoon and welcome back to Condo Craze and HOAs here on 850 WFTL. I'm Karen Curtis and I'm here again today, as we are each Sunday at noon, with attorneys Eric Glazer and Christy Phillips from Glazer & Associates PA, a law firm practicing community association law throughout Florida. As our listeners know, we are here each week to answer all of your calls and emails about the issues that make life in your condominium or HOA absolutely crazy from one minute to the next. As always, we would love to get the phone lines going early, answering all of your condominium and HOA questions. So give us a call right here in the studio at 877-850-8585. Again, that's 877-850-8585. Or if you prefer to email us your questions, you can do so by visiting the show's website at condocrazeandhoas.com and by clicking on the Email the Show tab.
And even if you don't want to send us an email, you should still visit the show's website at condocrazeandhoas.com, where you can learn more about each of us, write in your comments about the show, listen to all of our past shows. As I said last week, a lot of people listen to the show during the week because sometimes it's difficult to do so on the weekend. You can sign up for our free seminars at the Hard Rock. We'll certainly talk about that today, a real great one this past Thursday.
The best.
Absolutely. Click on our Facebook link. And by the way, for those persons who did attend this past Thursday, lots of pictures on our Facebook link showing all of our attendees at the seminar. And if you join our Facebook link, you could also join in on our discussion boards. And you can also see who the show sponsors are and visit all of their websites as well. And, of course, if you'd like to call our law firm directly and pick our brains off the air, you can call Glazer & Associates at 877-4-CONDO-CRAZE, and you can visit our firm's website at condo-laws.com. Again, that's condo-laws.com.
Well, last show we spoke about 6 million homes lost to foreclosure, some recommended changes that the Florida legislature should consider this upcoming session, what steps you should take if the bank or unit owner won't maintain their property. And we even had a caller who attended the Condo Craze board member certification course at the Hard Rock and thought it should be mandatory for everyone serving on either a condo or HOA board. So what do we have to top last week's show?
Okay, time out. Wait a minute.
This is normally where I talk.
Don't even start talking. Before we actually start talking about the condo stuff, I know about what happened. I want to know, you know, what happened to Eric last week after you went home, Eric. You know, I mean, blabbering on and on about your wife giving you headaches for the last 20 years. Come on, I want to know the story.
It's really hard to say, Christy, how Mikhail felt about it. I just can't say. I really don't know.
How is it possible that a whole week went by and you have no idea how your wife felt about what you said about her on the radio to thousands of people?
Were you sleeping on the couch?
Hey, if she won't speak to me for the past whole week, how do I know how she feels? What am I, a mind reader? I mean, she won't tell me.
Oh, come on, you're a guy. You know that kind of stuff. You know when the wife is mad at you, you're in trouble.
Yeah, well, more importantly than that, if nothing else, on last week's show, we not only gave some great information like we do week in and week out, but we made some great predictions as well. And as a matter of fact, we made some great predictions actually 2 weeks in a row now.
Do you mean about the foreclosure crisis and what's in store for the new year?
Oh, no, absolutely not. Much more important than any of that stuff. 2 weeks ago, we promised the Jets would beat the Colts, and we were right. And, of course, last week we picked the Jets to go into New England and beat Brady and the Patriots.
Yes.
And today, write it down, everybody. Get your pencils out. We're going to make it a perfect 3 weeks straight and call it right now. Jets 24, Steelers 17. My Jets will win the AFC Championship game today. And just like they did to New England, they're going to shut down Roethlisberger with a relentless pass rush, and we'll be headed to the Super Bowl for the first time since 1969.
Very exciting.
It will happen.
Guys, I'm going to burst your bubble. Dolphins fans sitting over here again, sitting next to a Jets fan, not sure about that. And Eric, you may have been right about last week, you know, that I don't know what happened to Brady, he just didn't show up to the game. But your fantasy actually ends today for Gangrene. They're going to be watching the Super Bowl with some wings in their hand, just like the rest of us.
Where's our producer, Mike? I told him not to give you a mic today. What's going on? No microphone for Christy next time.
Okay, here's the question, Eric. How are you going to get me to answer calls if I don't have a microphone?
Yeah, well, maybe we'll get them correctly if you don't. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, you did not.
All right, a little Jet Dolphin humor there. All right, moving on. By the way, I do want Dolphin fans to admit one thing, and we'll move on to something else. If the Jets win today, these 3 weeks leading to the Super Bowl, the road to the Super Bowl, will be the greatest run in the history of football for any team, period, all on the road.
Okay, I'll agree to that.
Through Manning,
Jets,
Brady, and Roethlisberger,
Jets
that's
lose
the greatest
today,
run of
you
all
vote
time.
For the Dolphins versus the Jets next game the Dolphins play.
All right, again, moving on. All right, another great Condo Craze board certification course this past Thursday night at the Hard Rock. over another 100 people certified. And if any of you who attended are listening today, and I know you are, call in at 877-850-8585 and let us know what you thought about the course. And I have to tell you, this group really asked some great questions and kept the seminar real upbeat the whole time, really had a lot of fun. And like we said last week, over the next few shows, we're going to be talking about a host of changes that we would like to see the legislature address this year. And I can tell you, obviously, one that is near and dear to not only my heart, but everybody here at the show. And that's, of course, the certification requirement. And because we're smack dab in the middle of election season, we really have to remind our listeners each week that for condo association board members only, on July 1st, that new law went into effect that states within 90 days of getting elected, you must now get certified or you are removed from the board. And you can get certified by attending a state-approved course. And even though the law only requires this of condo board members, we've had dozens and dozens of HOA board members take the course. And I can assure you that so many of them approached me during the seminar or after the seminar and even have written in, emailed in, saying they really can't believe that the legislature made certification mandatory for condo members, but not HOA members. Yeah, it really makes no sense at all.
Yeah, no, Eric, it really doesn't. And even when we review the seminar evaluation forms that are at, you know, we ask everybody to fill out at the end of the course, so many people can't even believe that it's not mandatory, and they can sign that silly affidavit instead. You know, that's because the laws make it easy. They leave that loophole. There's no way that normal, I mean, I can't even, half the attorneys out there have trouble, you know, understanding the statutes and the way they're written because they go both ways. How do you expect just regular board members to read them and understand it? It needs to be mandatory.
No question about it. And for me, I can tell you, it's the interaction and the audience participation each month that really makes it fun. And now we can finally announce the date for our sixth seminar, and that's March 24th. 7 o'clock, again at the Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Hollywood. Remember, by taking the course, it allows me to certify you as eligible to serve on a Florida Condominium Board of Directors. The whole course is about 2.5 hours, and the Department of Business and Professional Regulation also approved the course for continuing education credits for all community association managers. And I can tell you that a lot of CAMs have already taken the course, and I, for one, am really flattered by their attendance and participation during the seminar. And I'm really proud to say that since teaching the seminar, we've now certified, believe it or not, over 600 people. Yeah, it's really something. As eligible to serve on a condominium board of directors here in Florida. Again, if you're interested in attending the course and getting certified for free at the Hard Rock, the next seminar is March 24th, and there's only one way to register. Go to www.condocrazeandhoas.com. Click on the link and fill out the form. That's it. You'll get email confirmation that you're registered. Again, condocrazeandhoas.com. Click on the link and fill out the form. And like we do each week, if you sign up during the show, we'll have some fun thanking you personally on the air. And by the way, of course, about a dozen of the show sponsors will also be in attendance with display tables, and they'll be able to available to meet with everyone during breaks and after the show. And please don't forget to speak to them and see how they can help your community. All right. Okay. Let's get the phone lines going if you can. Give us a call at 877-850-8585. Again, that's 877-850-8585. But before we take the calls, really interesting appeals court decision this week out of the 3rd District Court of Appeal, which hears appeals from Dade and Monroe counties. And in this case, a bank filed suit to foreclose on a home, and the owner just simply filed a list of 19 defenses to the lawsuit, you know, kind of just like a laundry list of defenses that may or may not apply. And the bank filed a motion for summary judgment, and that summary judgment was granted, and the home was ordered to be sold. The homeowner, though, then filed an appeal stating that the bank wasn't entitled to a summary judgment because they didn't bother refuting all 19 affirmative defenses.
Well, in that case, the court actually disagreed and basically held that the bank's affidavit was reason enough to grant the foreclosure judgment, and the borrower's appellate brief doesn't even allege what issues or facts are in dispute. So the order granting the summary judgment was actually affirmed in that case,
right,
Eric.
And as I said on the show last week, you know, even before this decision came out, it's a matter of time before the banks get their act together. And those homeowners who think they're going to be able to drag their foreclosure cases out for years and years may soon find themselves homeless. Mm. Yeah, that's the way I see things going from this point. And on the flip side of the bank's affidavit being good enough for the bank to get a summary judgment, let's say thank you to the Daily Business Review this week for putting our firm Glazer & Associates on the front page as a result of Christie's efforts to get sanctions not only against the banks who came forward with these faulty affidavits, but the attorneys who filed them as well.
Way to go.
Yeah, and everybody out there knows that this actual issue is so near and dear to my heart, just because I see so much of the possible fraud going on out there and whatnot. And the article was very flattering, and I want to thank the review for the story. Of course, the story just isn't over yet because, you know, we still have our final hearing on our request, and it hasn't been heard yet. And no matter what happens, we'll be sure to let everybody know, and hopefully it all change the way things go.
Yeah, just to remind everybody, for those that remember, we're representing a condominium association in Weston who has a unit owner being sued by the same law firm, but that firm actually represents two different banks, both claiming to have the first mortgage. Yeah, really crazy, silly case, quite frankly. And each case, there was affidavits being sworn to by the same person, again, each saying that they had the first mortgage. So since we felt that the condo suffered financially as a result of this mess, we're trying to get the condo sanctions. And as Christy said, we will keep you informed either way how this case goes down. But it should make for some interesting law.
They tried to pull out and they weren't allowed to.
Exactly. That's exactly what happened, Karen. The attorneys representing the banks tried to withdraw from the case, saying, hey, we're not even representing them anymore. But the judge said, well, we're not going to let this fraud be thrown into our lap and think that you can just get out of the case by filing a motion to withdraw. Very, very rare, you know, that you see a judge disallow a law firm from withdrawing from a case. But, again, very, very interesting. We'll let our listeners know. Let's take a quick break. 877-850-8585. Again, 877-850-8585. We'll be back right after this.
Welcome back to Condo Craze and HOAs here on 850 WFTL. I'm Karen Curtis with attorneys Eric Glazer and Christy Phillips, taking your phone calls here at 877-850-8585. That's 877-850-8585. Some folks already signing up for that seminar on March 24th.
That's right. Thanks to David in Pine Island Ridge for signing up during the break. Don't worry, David. We will not let you down. You will have a great time. Little technical problems in the studio today. We'd love to go to our first call. How about it, Mike? Are we ready? We put through the first caller? Okay, guess not. Let's keep moving on. When we're ready, we'll take the first call. Okay, let's see. In addition, okay, you know what? John from Hollywood is ready. How about it, John? You there?
Hey, Eric. How are you? Good morning.
How are you, John?
Can you guys hear me?
Yes,
okay?
Absolutely. How can we help you?
Okay, a quick comment and then just a couple of quick questions. First, I just want all your listeners and you guys to be aware that there was a class action suit against a firm, Franco Brown Eisinger. They represent a lot of boards. They were sending out a collection letter that violated the Fair Debt Collection Practices Act. The mailing went out. It was received last week, so if everybody signs up, they can get a little piece of the pie. Since they had wronged a number of people they were trying to collect from. So I just want everybody in your listening audience to be aware to keep an eye out for that. If you get it, make sure that you sign it and send it back. And by the way, I was also, that's a firm in Hollywood, I also attended your seminar. It was a top-rate seminar.
I'm glad you enjoyed it, John.
The other thing, no, it's a great, very informative. I would encourage everyone to attend. And real quickly, Eric, I was hoping I can get you to call me on Monday. This is John from Lincolnwood Towers Condominium. You know me. You represented me in a little parking dispute.
Got your email,
okay.
John, and tomorrow we will be at the office all day. We will get back to you tomorrow. No problem.
All right. I was wondering maybe if you could talk with regard to selective enforcement, because in my case, it's, as we sit, there's black and white violations of that happening right now. They're trying to eliminate my vehicle. Yet there are vehicles parked in that lot right now that extend beyond the lines, that violate, that have commercial lighting on them.
Hey, John, hold up. I'm your lawyer. Okay. I'm not going to let you talk about your case on the show. Come on. We're not going to do that. But how about we'll take your advice. We'll give you the listeners a little bit of a lesson on selective enforcement. No problem. Okay?
Thank you, Mark.
All right. What is selective enforcement? Selective enforcement is basically a shield and not a sword. Remember that. Basically, when you get sued for something in a condominium, one of your defenses could be, hey, you're picking on me.
Yeah.
Why are you singling me out? That's really selective enforcement. But the important thing about selective enforcement is you have to be able to compare apples with apples and not apples with oranges. What do I mean? If somebody gets sued, let's say, for having a pet, and pets are not allowed in the condominium, your defense can't be, well, the guy over there parks his vehicles in the visitor parking all the time. You don't go after him. So if you have to be able, again, to compare the exact same type of violation and show that they're basically singling you out, and that's what selective enforcement is all about, okay? Sometimes it's not actually all that difficult to prove if you have the paperwork and the photographs behind it, okay? But thanks for the call, John. How about it? Difficult to tell on this end. Mike, we got anybody else on hold? Oh, okay. How about it, Al? You there?
Yeah, I'm here, Al Lake Worth.
How are you, Al?
Okay.
How can we help you?
I actually live in a home. We have an HOA, and I own a condo that there's a condo association, obviously.
Oh, so both.
And both of them are telling me, the homeowner association is saying that they are foreclosing on and taking possession of homes ahead of the banks and going to rent them out. And the condo was saying that they may do that, too. And I'm just wondering, I mean, it's not me personally. I'm not involved with this warning. Was that good for our association? Can they do that? What's the story?
Well, again, Christy, feel free to chime in on this one, of course. But, yeah, we're finding, I guess, the overall question is it good for the associations to foreclose, get back title to the unit before the banks actually do and rent out the unit in that gap period before the association actually or the bank actually gets around to finally foreclosing on a unit? And I can tell you, at least in, quite frankly, the higher-end communities and the waterfront communities and, the big buildings that are on the water with oceanfront views, a lot of the clients we represent in that regard say, hey, yes, get us to the finish line first. Let us foreclose first. We're willing to get back title to the unit because we find it easy to rent these units out for the next year or two before the bank actually gets around to doing it. Might it be a little tougher in an HOA? Yes, you got to know your community. If your community has the ability to rent these homes out, let's say for $1,000 or $2,000 a month, and where the maintenance is, literally $300 or $400 a month on average, then obviously it may make sense to foreclose and get the unit back so you can rent it out and perhaps even start making a profit. But you also got to remember you have to insure the unit. Most importantly, you got to insure the unit if the association gets it back and intends to rent it out. We have Sean Virtue with us in the studio today from Smith, Watson, Parker, and I guess he would tell you the same thing. It would be a little insane for the association to wind up taking ownership of a unit, put some tenants in there, and then don't put a liability policy or something on that unit.
You're absolutely correct.
Okay.
Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it is legal then for both of them to do it, condos and HOAs?
Yeah, well,
I mean, I want to hear more, but
well,
also
sure.
Okay?
Yeah, well, absolutely. Both entities can do it. The question, I guess, as to your community is, can both do it at the same time? Typically, one of those entities in your community is going to have priority rights over the other. My guess is the master can probably wind up foreclosing the condominiums association interest out in its entirety. So without looking for your documents, it's kind of difficult to tell.
Oh, okay. Yeah, well, these are two separate properties. They're not tied into each other.
Oh, it's two separate properties.
It's also really important. A lot of the HOAs don't even think about this in regards to the rental rights, because in the HOA statute, it actually grants the 12 months or 1% if your mortgage was recorded after 2007. So right. In some of these declarations of restrictions and whatnot, if the mortgage was recorded prior to 2007, you might not have any rights to the 12 months or 1%. So it may make sense to go forward and rent it out, and at least you're collecting something rather than nothing, because you don't lose anything by renting it.
Hope that answers your question, Al. Okay?
Very good.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening. All right. Let's move on a little bit. In addition to the foreclosure crisis that always seems to be the topic of the day, just like Al was talking about, let's talk about another potential disaster that's lurking in the court system. The Sun Sentinel reported last week that lenders who foreclosed on homes took back title and sold the property for a lot less than what was originally owed on it. They have the right and may begin filing lawsuits to seek what's commonly known as a deficiency judgment against people who actually thought they were out of the woods when they were foreclosed on, but they may learn quickly that they are not out of the woods.
I know, and I hate to be the person with the bearer of bad news, but I just want to make sure all the listeners out there understand this. So we're going to do an easy example, Eric. Let's say, we lose a house. I have a house and I lose it where, I'm owing the bank $400,000. The bank takes the property back and they actually sell it for $200,000. They just lost another $200,000 in, money. Where are they going to do it? The bank can actually come back after me and collect the judgment by going after like individual assets or whatnot. So all the people out there, if you have it, you definitely need to think about this because you could be facing a deficiency judgment.
Right. And the banks actually have 5 years to pursue this deficiency judgment. So you may, if you lost your home to foreclosure and, you know, now your bank took a beating on that loan, you may want to be careful about showing off your assets for the next 5 years.
This is scary to think that a bank can't hurt you even more than you already did by taking your home, but now you still may not be out of the woods.
Yeah, you may not be out of the woods by a long shot, I can tell you that.
Let's say the borrowers now live in a new home. Can the old bank now foreclose on the new home because of this deficiency judgment?
No, that's a good question. They can't foreclose on the new home. They definitely can't do that. But they can try to seize other assets like bank accounts, cars, boats, and other properties that the borrower may have. But the good news is that Florida is probably the best place in the country to live if you owe money because there are a lot of legal ways to protect yourself down here. For example, IRA accounts, they're exempt from creditors. Social Security funds are exempt from creditors. And again, that new homestead property is exempt. And even monies invested in things like life insurance policies, all of that is exempt.
Eric, that's an important point that maybe the listeners need to get across is if you do buy a new home and you're living in it, make sure you homestead it. Make sure you file the required paperwork with the county. Make sure you file that declaration of homestead in the public records
right.
So that the creditors can't come after you.
Right. As a matter of fact, there's some confusion when it comes to the term homestead. Just because somebody actually homesteads their property down here doesn't mean – it simply means actually that they file the paperwork to get the homestead exemption. It doesn't necessarily mean that a house is actually their homestead property. So, again, just because you wind up filing the paperwork, if you can't prove to a creditor that you're actually living in the property and that you actually moved to Florida and moved into that property with the intent that that property remain – as your domicile, and you can still lose that to creditors. Let's go to a fast, quick break. Again, taking your calls, 877-850-8585. Again, 877-850-8585. Back after this.
Welcome back to Condo Craze and HOAs here on 850 WFTL. Again, I'm Karen Curtis with attorneys Eric Glazer and Christy Phillips. Taking your phone calls at 877-850-8585. That's 877-850-8585. Had a lot of good calls already.
Yes, and matter of fact, we got Joe from Hollandale. How about it, Joe? You there?
Hello?
How are you, Joe?
Hi, can you hear me?
Absolutely. How can we help you?
Okay, I have a couple of quick questions. Number one, I want to make sure I understood that 90-day state board examination. After you become elected to the board,
okay.
90 days after that, you need to go to a state board examination?
Well, hold on. Not an examination. That would be a little too tough. But you know
okay,
what? Write that down.
I misunderstood.
Here's the law. Now, within 90 days of getting elected to a Florida condominium board, okay, and again, only a condo board, not an HOA board, those directors
right.
have to get certified, okay? There's two ways to get certified.
Those members have been on the board for years.
Doesn't mean a thing.
Are they still required to do that?
Absolutely. Any director elected after July 1st, regardless of how long they've been on the board, and I got to tell you, with all due respect to the members that have been on the board, those are the ones that should absolutely have to go because the condo laws that they may have learned when getting on the board years ago might be a lot different than they are now. So, yes,
okay.
The longer you are on the board doesn't mean anything. But
okay. My next question is, when you get an estimate report for the previous year's revenue, if it's over $400,000, are they required to have an audit within 3 years?
Okay. Here's the bottom line. If you're in Florida, if your annual revenue for your association – in your one-year reporting period exceeds $400,000, you are required
right.
by Florida statute to have an audit, period, and a full-blown audit.
Can the owners be assessed, or would that come out of the funds that we already have?
Typically what should be, since you know what your budget is, when you actually make it, the cost of that audit should have been included in your budget. It should have been included
okay.
in the monthly maintenance. If it's not...
Because, frankly, We haven't had one. I've been an owner for 10 years, and I don't recall ever having an audit.
Well, again, statute says all the more reason for a seminar, right? Because I can tell you, we spend a lot of time. The state, when they mandated that that board members get certified, one of the reasons is because exactly the type of call that we're speaking about now. You have members of the board who, notwithstanding the fact that they've been members for so long, they don't realize, they don't understand. And again, just like a situation like yours, that even though their budget is $400,000 or more, they haven't been doing their audit that they're required to do by law. So the state, prior to certifying me and certifying the course, made sure that one of the topics that we teach and spend a lot of time on was, in fact, finances of the condominium. And we go through a whole analysis as to what type of year-end financial report associations have to do. And it boils down to the amount of revenue that comes into that association during that year. Bottom line is $400,000 or more, you're doing an audit unless the unit owners vote down the audit.
Okay. The owners can vote it down.
Correct. They can go.
Okay. Now, is that gross or net?
That's gross. What comes in gross? Condominium association technically is not supposed to net anything.
Question. And Eric, it's actually pretty interesting. You had a good question at the seminar, which you might want to let the listeners know about. When the special assessment comes in, what happens to the audit
assessment? Absolutely, Christy. Thanks for remembering that. As a matter of fact, you can have an association, let's say, with a $200,000 annual budget. It wouldn't necessarily require an audit. However, let's say that association had a $200,000 special assessment come in that year. Well, that now means your budget exceeded $400,000, and you must have an audit. Okay?
Right, because they managed to keep it under $400,000 by maybe $4,000 or $5,000, except for this year. My last question is this. We have waterfront property. Can they sell that without the complete approval of the membership?
Well, again, impossible for me to tell you that type of answer without actually seeing your declaration of condominium. I'd have to know if that's property owned by the association or if it's common elements. If it's common elements, obviously
common
no.
Common elements.
Yeah, no. Common elements cannot be sold out from the unit owners. The unit owners own it. So that cannot be done by simply a vote of the board.
Well, you've answered all my questions.
All right, Joe.
When is the seminar?
Sign up for that seminar. Just go to condocrazeandhoas.com. The next one is February 20th, I believe, Thursday.
Maybe the 24th.
The 24th, then. It's February 24th, which is a Thursday. There's a standby line. A lot of people actually showed up this week from the standby line. So, again, Hard Rock, 7 o'clock on the 24th. Thanks for the call, Joe. All right. Christy, how about telling our listeners who actually live in HOAs this great court decision that recently came out in their favor and against the developer?
I know, and now I get to tell good news after the bad news I just told, right?
Yes.
Well, some very good news to report. If you live in a homeowners association in Orange County, there was a homeowners association that sued a developer for breach of implied warranties of fitness for a particular purpose, merchantability and habitability, which pretty much arose out of the alleged defective construction of their private roads, their drainage systems, retention ponds, and the underground pipes that the developer actually installed in the subdivision. Developer argued that these common law warranties didn't extend to construction and design of these private roadways, drainage systems, and retention ponds, or any other common areas in the subdivision because the structures don't actually support, as I'm going to stress that, support the residences. And based on a previous court decision, the trial court actually agreed with the developer and dismissed the homeowner's lawsuit against the developer.
Right, but on appeal, again, it's a real big case. The Fifth District Court of Appeals reversed the lower court and said that there's a movement away from this caveat emptor analysis, which again means let the buyer beware, because permitting, site planning, and site work and construction of subdivisions and planned communities are significantly more complex than ever before, and a home buyer is no longer on a level playing field with a builder or developer, as was once the case. And also, by requiring developers to give these common law warranties, it would reduce the number of undesirables within the industry who have no intention of standing behind the quality of their work. And I, for one, love it that the court actually acknowledged that there's simply unscrupulous developers out there who sell homes, take the money, and then split and leave town.
Wow. Happens?
Right? Yeah, that does happen. I know a lot of our listeners have coped with that over the years. But again, great case for homeowners associations because homeowner associations don't have the same protections against the developer for construction defects that condominium associations do. There's a very complex and protective statute that condo associations can rely on for warranties against the developer for defects, but there's no statute that grants the same protection to homeowner associations. So in effect, homeowner associations had to get the court to impose what's known as a common law warranty against the developer. And in this case, the 50CA did just that. And by the way, generally speaking, a condo association has a 3-year warranty after turnover to make a claim against the developer for construction defects. Again, those directors who are listening out there who are in charge of associations that have recently been turned over, keep that in mind. You have a 3-year statute to pursue claims against the developer for construction defects, real important, except if it's a condominium conversion, and then the statute even goes down and you may only have 1 year after turnover. So again, if you get elected to a board right after turnover, you must look into these types of issues immediately. And I can tell you our firm Glazer & Associates also handles lots of cases against developers after turnover for both construction defects and financial wrongs of the developer. So if you have any questions about developer warranties or what your developer may be responsible for, give us a call at Glazer & Associates at 877, the number 4, Condo Craze. Again, that's 877, the number 4, Condo Craze, and we will be glad to help. Just want to talk about an interesting email that we just got from Jan from Cyber Citizens for Justice. We were talking about whether or not associations should rent out their units, you know, be aggressive and foreclose. And I can tell you that Jan is right. He writes in that says the association shouldn't do it if there's rental restrictions that prohibit everybody from actually renting their units. And he is 100% right. If the association doesn't, in fact, have restrictions in their declaration of condominium that prevents rentals in their entirety, then yes, the association would not be able to rent out those units. So you got to know what your documents say beforehand. By the way, the seminar is, at least the next one to sign up for, is March 24th. March 24th. Again, condocrazeandhoas.com. Let's take a break. Taking your calls at 877-850-8585. Again, 877-850-8585, and we'll be back after this.
Back to the last segment of Condo Craze and HOAs here on 850 WFTL. Again, I'm Karen Curtis with attorneys Eric Glazer and Christy Phillips. We do have some phone calls, and we're taking your calls at 877-850-8585, 877-850-8585.
Let's go to Joan from Hollywood. How are you,
Hi.
Joan? How are you, Joan?
Okay. My question is that I heard the other caller state that the you told them that the board has to be certified. Do they have to show us the certification, or can we ask to see their certification?
Yes, as a matter of fact, good question, because the statute actually says that the secretary of the association actually has to have proof of the certification on file with the association. So, yes, they have to show you they are an official record of the association, the actual certification forms.
And, Eric, I actually talked to a DBPR investigator who stated that if the association doesn't have this, this can be deemed a finable offense. I mean, this is something that they're really, really going after. They want to see either that affidavit or the certification. So, I mean, it's been the 90 days since your board has, you know, been elected and they haven't turned it in, you definitely need to send that demand letter saying, hey, guys, turn it in or you're off the board. You know, if you've done it and they have proof, then that's good. But if they don't show it to you, they're deemed to have abandoned that position and you need to get somebody else in there.
Right.
Okay. I appreciate that. Thank you.
No problem.
No problem, Joan.
Before we went to the break, we were talking about developers for HOAs actually getting a big blow from the 50CA. Holding that there are common law warranties in effect against them, even though that there's no statutory warranties that they must provide. And in yet another blow to developers this week, there's a new appeals court case out of Georgia, and this is a real interesting case and that really, we really need to talk about. In that case, 8 condo buyers sued a developer because the developer promised them spectacular city views if they would purchase their condominium units all the time, while knowing that those views were eventually going to be obscured, by another high-rise condo the same developer had already planned.
That's scary. And the trial court in that case actually dismissed the case, but then the Court of Appeals said that the trial judge should not have relied upon the language in the sales contract disclaiming any right to a view. The lawsuit actually says that at the time the developer was marketing these units and their spectacular views, the developer had already signed a letter of intent in 2005 agreeing to develop another condo high-rise that he knew would block the view. So in essence, I mean, he went ahead and signed that and is promising one thing on one end and doing something on the other.
Right. These unit owners prevailed on a fraudulent inducement theory. Again, inducement. Interesting case because here in Florida, we have people in condos complaining all the time about developers who build new condo high-rises that will block their views of the water or of the sun. And the most famous case in Florida on the subject, and everybody who's listening will know who these two players are, was the Eden Rock versus the Fontainebleau Hotel. And that case goes all the way back to 1959. And in that case, the Fontainebleau added an addition to their hotel that during the winter months would cut off air and light by the pool to the Eden Rock. And the Eden Rock did everything they could to try to stop it, and it was a real nasty fight. But here is what the opinion of the court actually said. The court said that where a structure serves a useful and beneficial purpose, it doesn't give rise to a cause of action either for damages or for an injunction, even though it causes injury to another by cutting off the light and the air and interfering with the view, regardless of the fact that the structure may have been erected even for spite, believe it or not, even for spite. So now you know, before you buy a condo in a high-rise with a great view, find out for sure and for certain if one day something can be built that will block that view, because if it can, it probably will. And there may not be a thing you can do to stop it, although I can tell you over my career, I've had some great battles about zoning, I can tell you. Interesting stuff. Again, in Florida, no right whatsoever in Florida to maintain your view or even your sunlight. On that note, let's go to Don in Port St. Lucie. How are you, Don? Don, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Absolutely.
Yes. Okay. My question to you is, I'm in an HOA, and there are quite a few people who owe maintenance charges. They want to list them and put them up in the clubhouse. Is that legal?
Don't do it.
Do you hear Christy hear all of us screaming? Karen's been certified so many times attending all these seminars. She knows.
I know.
That's a topic I can tell you that comes up seminar after seminar after seminar. The boards want to publish what's known as a deadbeat list. And again, that would mean publishing the names, putting it up on a bulletin board of the people that owe money, thinking that's probably a good way to get people to pay up. I can tell you that is only a good way for one thing. It's a good way to get your association sued as a defendant in federal court under the Fair Debt Collection Practices Act. Okay? The association will be sued and will wind up paying monetary damages if it does something like that. But on the other hand, okay, let's talk about what an association can do and has an obligation to do. Under both the condominium statute and the HOA statute, the associations are required to keep a detailed ledger for each and every home or unit in the association. And that ledger is accessible to any other unit owner who lives in the community. So if somebody comes in and says, I want a copy of the ledger for unit 206, I want to see if they're paying their assessments, well, guess what? The association, no question about it, has to actually turn over a copy of that ledger. Okay, but do not post a list.
No.
I have time for one other question.
We've got to make it quick because we have Troy from Pembroke Pines that we got to grab.
Okay. My other question is, our HOA has quite a bit of money in reserve. Is it true that we have to start using the money up? Otherwise, Florida State will come after us?
No, that's not the case. And again, if you have questions on that, again, our sponsor, one of our sponsors of the show, Gerstle, Rosen, and Goldenberg, they are, again, one of the preeminent accounting firms for condos and HOAs in the state. Pick up the phone and give them a call. You can visit their website by visiting the show's website, condocrazeandhoas.com. Hope that answers your question, Don. We got to grab Troy quick. We got about 2 minutes left.
Troy,
you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Thanks.
No problem. Got to make it
faster. I've got a question about safety. I live in a 7-story building. I'd like to get your opinion. What should we do tonight at about 9 o'clock when the Jets lose and all the New Yorkers are going to jump off the roof?
Is that,
I like you, Troy. I like you a lot. And I think I know who
you
Troy
did not.
Is. He did. I am very impressed.
Troy, so help me God, I will have our technicians here at the studio track you down.
No.
We will
Troy is wearing yellow and black, by the way. A nice little jersey, and a hat is back today.
We will find out where you're calling from, Troy. Rest assured. Okay? We have ways to get you, lean you, and foreclose on you, Troy. Okay? but thanks for the call. We appreciate
it. Thank you. Give your prediction again, the score.
The prediction, what I say earlier.
Don't jinx
yourself. 24-17
And everybody out there has heard it. Are we betting today, Eric? Are you actually going to wear that Steelers jersey if the Jets lose? I'll actually wear a Jets jersey.
Okay,
I'll make that bet.
There it is.
I will wear something with Jets on it if you promise me that you will wear something with
course,
Steelers on it.
There's no way to prove that up. Our listeners actually can't see us.
I'll take a picture of it. Don't worry. I'll be taking a picture of it. It will be everywhere.
We definitely will have a lot of fun watching you come in with a Jet jersey next week. That we will take pictures of. It will be on Facebook. Again, by the way, for those of you who attended the course last week, visit our Facebook link because a lot of great photos of everybody proudly holding up their certification, their certification certificates that they got. Just wanted to clarify one thing before we actually say goodbye. A caller called earlier, I guess it was Joe from Hollandale, regarding the certification course. Again, it's February 24th and March 24th, and the only way to register for it is going to condocrazeandhoas.com. We don't want to hear anybody who took the easy way out and wound up signing that silly affidavit because you don't learn anything from signing an affidavit. Come take the course. The cookies are good. The coffee is good. The debate is good, and you wind up learning something.
And it's at the Hard Rock, and it's free. Can't
Absolutely.
Beat that.
Everybody have a great week. Thanks for tuning in
Thank
for another
you.
Week. And when we get back next week, first thing we'll do, of course, is talk about the Jets'
Steelers.
Victory today.
Yes.
Have a great week, everybody. Be well.